Yo, he did. Like, he really did. Like, I said, hey, I want to play. He said, let me stop you right there. He said, you're going to have to try your absolute hardest to be on scout team at Penn State. And he said, he's like, you will never play in the NFL. Get the fuck out of my office. And then I left and I was like, ooh, I messed up. And this wasn't some like loser reporter. This was somebody who had won multiple Super Bowls with Tom Brady, right? This is like, this guy, like, his opinion mattered. And then the next morning I got called into Fitzy's office and I sat in his office and like the four strength coaches stood in front of me and they were like, who the do you think you are, like, going to head coach's office saying you want to play in the league? Like, they destroyed me. And then I had to run. They made me run like at 5 a.m. They like punished me for wanting to play the NFL. It was insane.
Quarterback sneak right side. Touchdown, Penn State!
Who knew I would make it this far? College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
Back again, folks. And I got my guy B-Bell here. Really excited about our guest this week. Bringing on Carl Nassib, had some conversations. He's got a lot going on, man. You know, just freshly retired, trying to get into the board of trustees. So we're going to touch on a lot of things. I feel like his college career was really, he had that huge year in 2015, senior year, but there's a lot, before that, that I think we got a lot of perspective on that no one really talks about. I mean, he talked about it a little bit, but I think it's going to be cool just to kind of highlight his entire process at Penn State from start to finish. I don't think it's really that well documented.
Right. Now, I don't think it is. Like you said, the big splash is All-American season, but you know, it was on a steady incline before that. And I'm not sure, as you said, many were kind of really privy to. Love Carl. Great story. I haven't talked to him in a while, so this will be fun for me as well. As you said, booked and busy, straight out of retirement from the league. You know, a lot of people try to figure it out. He's booked and busy, got straight to it.
Knew what he was doing, man. Knew what he was doing. He's got a couple of cool things going on as well. On the personal side, we'll touch in that he's doing from a business standpoint. But excited to do that. And as always, sharing our brother's stories is important to us. So that's going to be cool. But let's just do some house cleaning here. You know, putting a bow on the whole NIL thing. I just want to set the record straight. Like, my whole goal with doing any of that was just to educate, because I feel like we don't, even myself, like I've been very, very honest about my qualms and my issues and stuff like that. And I understand where a lot of fans' issues come from. I totally get it. Like, don't, like, I'm not trying to be a peddler here of a certain narrative, but I just think it's really important for us as Penn Staters to do our part from an education standpoint and understanding exactly what it is. Also understand where it's going and where we can help and what creative opportunities are out there. And I think that's why bringing in, you know, folks from the collective, bringing in, you know, our Brad's perspective, which was awesome. And then having a guy like Tony Misitano come on, who's a very generous donor, and just tell that story, give that perspective, because it's important. And ultimately, you know, I want you listeners just to think for yourselves, think freely about it. And like I said, I've been tuned into all of the responses and totally get it on both sides of the spectrum. But it's just, again, I think education's important. I think learning about it's important, and not speaking ignorantly on something is also very important. So I think my whole goal there, and I think I don't want to talk for you, B, but at least personally, my goal was just to get it out there. Lots of different perspectives, chew on it a little bit, and you know, let's see what we can do. You know what I mean?
Right. Nah, you hit the nail on the head right there, because in today's world, everyone's quick to judgment and have opinions and can voice them publicly and everything like that. But it's good to always get as much information as you can, you know, to go into that opinion. And as you said, that's what we have to do, really. You know, we have our opinions on it, and we believe what we believe and how it could be beneficial. That's no secret. But, you know, as you said, you know, everyone make their own decisions, but we're here to give you the information and, you know, to go about that. So it's definitely needed. It's needed. You know, we can't all just be jokes and criticism towards the football team and the positives, negatives. You know, we gotta give some real stuff too.
Before we get to the next topic, we're gonna take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm gonna stand on the table here and say this: Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef crafted, dietitian approved. We've gotten a chance to test them here at The Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meal, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend them.
I mean, and like I said, like when you have the platform and then you have the connections and the ability to highlight those things, why not? Right. And yeah, it's just funny. Like the whole thing, I've had conversations with people who were non-believers turned into full believers. I've had conversations with such a broad array of people, and it's just interesting to see the angles and the different ways that people are attacking it and leveraging it, whether it's personal, whether it's for their business, whether it's for whatever. There's just a lot of, it's a new market. It's an untapped market. New things are scary. You know, it doesn't help, again, as I've said over and over and over, the way it was rolled out. There's just a lot of gray area and loopholes and stuff like that. They're just trying to plug holes and fix. But it's just interesting to see the way folks are approaching it. And we've also said it, like, it's here to stay. It's going to be part of, whether it's NIL, whether it's shifted more to like a pay for play model, like we've said, rev sharing, you know, employees of the school, whatever it may be, like whatever the model is, at the end of the day, the amateur athlete and the concept of amateurism, at least at the college level, is dead. You know, bury that one. That one's gone. I just think adjusting to what it is, and then also being able to keep sacred what I've right. always thought was cool about college sports is it's about the community. It's about the alumni. It's about the fan base. And it's about being able to get behind something that is like, from an experience standpoint, that happens in state college, whether you're a student, whether you're the quarterback, whether you're a linebacker, whether you play hockey, that experience is still really cool. And I think that's what's awesome about college sports. You know, it's way different than the NFL fan. And I just think being able to keep that too is important. And I think that it's going to be that way. It's just, you know, hey man, business is business. And especially when big business is involved, like you can't knock the kids for wanting to get in there. Yeah. And I just think, you know, the guardrails around it for being able to help that. And the one point I've always said too is, and you mentioned this in the past as well, is just the, specifically for football, the time frame in which you can benefit financially from your skill set is much more narrow than any other sport, just due to the physicality, due to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Limited opportunity. Like there's 32 professional teams. Like there's, it's
right. I mean, so we much talked about the percentages coming out of high school, you know, percentage of becoming a D1, you know, Power 5 athlete is very slim compared to how many high school athletes there are.
1.7% or something. It might not even be that high.
Right. And then obviously we know the next level, the NFL, that number gets sliced again tremendously, dramatically. So as you said, small window of time and opportunity for these young, you know, these young men that play college football from 18 to, you know, we're getting out of that COVID year, 18 to the regular kind of 4 or 5 years is it's very, very small, very tight. So, everyone can win, man. Everyone can eat.
Yeah.
Everyone get their just due value. We'll see how that gets rolled out, as you say. But hopefully the guardrails allow for everyone to eat and, you know, move on accordingly.
Yeah. So we put a bow on that. A lot to come. And then to piggyback off that, you know, just want to continue to preview and give some more details surrounding the spring game coming up. State media's got a pretty big weekend ahead. You know, we're going to have a ton of content. We're going to have a massive presence up there. B and I are going to be up. Have a few other folks. Aeneas is obviously going to be up there from the Lion's Den. Oh. Miles is going to be up there ripping around doing stuff from Heat Check. So the whole network's going to be rolling. Then we also have some guys coming who we played with who I think are going to make it fun. But you know, we're going to have a big day on Thursday, going to practice and doing some stuff with the team there. Friday, you know, normal engagement banter, potentially a few things in unison with the collective, helping highlight some things that they're doing. Additional information, additional visibility into that whole process, which I think is great. And then Saturday, we are partnering with the collective on their event over at Medler before the game, which is going to be a ticketed event. It's going to be super cool, past and present. We're going to have a ton of alumni there, ton of Lettermen, kind of do like a live pregame show. Maybe we're going to do a quarterback panel, a linebacker panel, get guys like Trace, get guys like Matt McGloin up there. And we're just going to chop it all up, man. It's going to be cool. And really just try to give guys a platform to give back and just create some energy and excitement around this season because, you know, we need it. And I think that this team is going to slowly start to develop as they start getting a little more comfortable schemes and stuff like that. We've talked about the process with new coordinators and spring ball and what that's all about heading into camp. But big spring game weekend. So we're going to be really excited to get a bunch of stuff out there for you guys, bunch of stuff for you guys to consume digitally. And if you're up there, come shake our hands, come hang out with us. We're going to be having fun. So looking forward to that.
Most definitely looking forward to that as well, man. Anytime you get a chance, one, just get in State College, get up there, especially during a football game event. We know that brings, to your point, the community aspect to college football. There's nothing like it. The town, you know, people come from all over, as we know, you know, Penn State is all over the country, but they come back to State College, Pennsylvania, in the mountains, you know, for events like this. So it's always a good time. Teammates, brothers, friends, and as you said, meeting people. Anyone that's ever met me walking about, as you said, please, you know, shake our hands, can chop it up. That's what we're here for.
No doubt. So without further ado, let's get our guy Carl in here. This is going to be a great segment. I mean, I'm super excited about it. We briefed this whole week talking about it. He even threw in some ideas. He's excited. So this is going to be great. And we'll catch you guys on the other side.
Are you paying too much for health insurance? Too busy to read long, complicated policies? Well, guess what? Here at The Pocket, we got a solution for you. Mahdi Health. Patrick Mahdi, former letterman. He's doing a fantastic job in this industry. He leverages years of expertise to build a customized health insurance policy for you and your needs. Individual plans, family plans. Patrick ensures you get the best protection for your health and budget. Mahdi Health, one broker, endless solutions. Now offering up to $500 cash bonus for every customer referral. So quit overpaying for your health insurance. Visit MahdiHealth.com to schedule a free consultation with Patrick himself.
All right, guys, much anticipated. As we've been saying, we got our guy Carl Nassib on here. He's got a ton of stuff cooking. You know him as the 2015 unanimous All-American, third round draft pick by the Browns, 6-year NFL vet, right? 6'7"? Seven. I knew you had seven. In Tampa Bay, got a ring, right?
I did not
miss that. You missed that just barely.
Yeah.
But Carl is a highly anticipated, got a ton of stuff going business wise. He also has a ton of stuff going up at Penn State. We're going to touch on that here at the end, but I really want to start on this because we mentioned this coming in. I personally feel that you've obviously had a ton of things come your way for a lot of different reasons, been in the limelight. But the one part of your career that I feel isn't highlighted as much as I thought is the genesis, starting in 2011 to 2013, and then really anything from there into that 15 season. You know, we got to see what you were about day in, day out. But I don't feel like it's as documented as it should be, because I feel like a lot of that has molded you into what you are now. So, Carl, explain to us. You come in as a walk-on, nicknamed Stork. You know, what were you, like a buck 20 when you walked in, or 220 when you walked in the door, like 6'7"?
Yeah, I think I was just a few pounds heavier than you when you walked in. Yeah. Just a little bit faster, though. Yeah, so you know, I came in 2011 as a walk-on. I was one of the preferred walk-ons. And this was like back during the days where walk-ons didn't even work out with the scholarship players. Like, we worked out separately. I didn't even get I didn't even get dinners for free. Like, I had to pay for dinners. It was a different time. Yeah. And so I grinded a couple of years as a walk-on. And then in 2013, I got my scholarship, and it took me really until my senior year. I never started until my senior year. So that was 2015. That was our last year playing together. So it was a wild ride. There was never a dull moment at Penn State for me. That's for sure.
Now, I remember, like you said, you didn't necessarily start until, you know, the big year, but it was almost one of those like sixth man type of things for me, at least. You know, we played, held it down on the defensive side for a few seasons once I started to actually play as well.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like it was like a sixth man as far as like, yo, this kid, this guy, we talked about, you know, we brought you in with your work ethic, and it's like, who, this guy is like 100 miles per hour and he's producing kind of like in practice. Like, you know, why isn't he out there? Obviously, you know, we were deep at your position, at the DM position.
We were
out there. It was like, we knew you were grinding for this moment for a long time. And once you grasped it, you ran with it and took off.
Yeah. There was a time in 2014 season, we were playing at home, and I was either like, I think it was Ohio State, or it was, I can't remember the team. Maybe it was a team. I know we lost, but we came in at halftime and Zettel was like, put Carl in the game. And I was like, yo, say it louder for the people in the back, you know? Like, we weren't getting any pressure. And I was like, yo, put your boy in the game. I felt like I was like just waiting to play. It's wild. Like, you know, getting my scholarship and still riding the bench for two full years, I really didn't get a lot of burn in 13 and 14. So I was very, very excited in 2015. So, yeah, I remember, you know, defense was always doing well. We had a lot of fun. D-line, I mean, I was really surrounded by some great D-linemen last couple of years.
So we're gonna get to that 15 year, but I want you to talk about something that's, I think, is cool. You mentioned this before we got on here going, you know, you played for so many defensive coordinators, but you also played for three different head coaches at Penn State, which might be some form of record. I don't know how many people could say that.
Right.
Yeah. I think just the guys that were my year, you know, or a year above me or a year below me, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you got to see the change of guard in several ways. Talk about that a little bit and how each of those folks and maybe each of those situations impacted you directly, both positively and negatively.
Well, you know what's funny is I played 7 years in the league, played in over 100 games, and I had like 8 or 9 D coordinators too. I don't know if I got some sort of repellent, but like I cannot keep a D coordinator, man. And it sucks because I've only had like maybe 1 or 2 seasons in all of college and all of pros where I had the same D coordinator going from and 2 years back to back. And in those 2 years, like I didn't have to relearn a system. I played so much faster. I didn't have to learn the new signals. Yeah. Like, I only had to improve on my game, and it was amazing. So I like to think I wasn't cursed, but I did have to deal with a lot of turnover. And, it seems like forever ago. But playing with different coaches, just got to roll with the punches. There's one thing in football, like, you know, you got to keep the main thing, and like ignore the noise. So I feel like I learned that pretty young, and it really did, if anything, prepared me for the league. Cause that really, you know, you never know. You can get fired at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
I've been fired. I was fired twice. So, both very public, you know what I mean? And so it did prepare me for that life and matured me really quickly, but I would not have had it any other way. I had the best career. I had so much fun. Like, I really never expected it to turn out the way that it did. But yeah, I hope I don't have some sort of like de-coordinated repelling. So everyone like get into coaching, they're just gonna like run for the hills or something. I don't know.
I don't think it's that, but I will say this. I was not surprised at the year that you had in 2015. Similar to what B mentioned, you were always that guy fucking up offensive periods.
Yeah, every time. Yeah.
You were always that guy who played kind of like a man possessed, dude. Like, when you snap that helmet off, like, you're a great guy, super personable, tons of fun outside of it. But when you put the helmet on, like, I remember vividly there's those moments where you go into like see red mode and everyone's like, oh, fucking Carl's over there just doing whatever.
Yeah.
And you get right.
I know, I miss that Carl. I wonder how he's doing. You know what I mean? I haven't seen that. I wonder if he's still there. I don't know if he is.
I don't know if the office scenario can handle that. I don't know. You might have to keep that.
No. Time and place. Yeah, not at all.
But with that, it always seemed like you had some type of, and I know that people, and I'm not going to try to stuff a narrative down here if it doesn't exist. But that's why I asked you about positively and negatively, because you always played with that chip. Like, you had it, you had something else. There was something motivating you that seemed to be like, for me, for example, like I never had that. Like, when I played, like, I always wanted to just do well by my guys, like kind of be that like level headed, still headed guy, like just ride the storm. Yeah. Whatever.
Sure.
And I almost wish I did have that. Like, I would get pissed off, don't get me wrong.
But yeah,
I almost
wish
I did have that in a sense where I could, like, get into that space.
Step into it whenever.
I asked you because, like I said, I watched you work. I watched you grow. I watched you mature, even as a younger guy, but, like, kind of an older guy just because of the role I was thrust into at a young age. Like, always respected it. And when you finally got that opportunity, dude, like, I was, like, no better guy for it to happen to. And, like, watching it from my side of the ball, I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like, keep going.
Dude. Yeah.
Another turnover. Thank you.
If there was some type of moment, some type of conversation, something
that
fucking made that snap.
I think it's innate. I think that, like, I kind of always have been that way. I people all the time try and put like barriers on your potential. And I just always want to be the best in everything that I could do. And even though I wasn't the best defensive end to ever play football, like, I wanted to be it though. Right. Like, I had a coach tell me one time, he's like, why are you trying to be the best? Like, be the best you can be. I was like, that's the worst. I almost cursed. I didn't do it. That's one thing I'm getting better at. I was like, that is the worst effing advice I've ever heard, right? You have no idea, right? And I know that, like, I maxed out my potential as much as I possibly could. But I hate when people put limits on people's potential at such a young age. I had it in high school. I never started in high school. You know what I mean? Just because I grew later, they just were like, oh, Carl's not gonna do shit. And so when I got to college, like, I believed in myself. I walked by that the All-American wall at Penn State, like, every day. And I was like, I'm going to be on that fucking wall. And it's like, I never told anybody that, because, like, so much in life, when you tell people your goals and your dreams, their knee-jerk reaction is to cut it at the knees. Right. There are not too many people want to say, hey, like, I want to help you get there. It's like, you're an idiot for dreaming that. So I kind of thought that, I feel like I had that for pretty innately growing up. I just was like kind of a bruiser on the basketball team. I couldn't shoot for anything, but I was like the bruiser. And I just love football more than this. What'd you say?
You used all five of those fouls?
Oh yeah, dude. I was like, how do I foul out as quickly as possible to go sit on the bench and eat some chips or something? But yeah, it's just, you know, there are a lot of D linemen have that switch. You kind of have to be a little bit crazy, a little wild. What are we? Wild dogs, you know. When we were at Penn, wild dogs. Yeah, Coach Spencer, baby.
Yeah. Gotta get him on here too. But no, I think
you gotta get him on here. He'll be much funnier than me.
No. But to your point about, you know, making that switch, being a little crazy, and I think everything you just said is everything that I think players nowadays need to hear. You know, obviously the game is a little different. Okay. And players maybe in your shoes now may have handled things differently. So I think it's a testament to everything you said of just being innate, how you came up, of like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to be denied. I don't care what the outside circumstances are saying or looking like. Depth chart, you know, I'm not going to run away from this. I'm going to put my head down, gain however many pounds of muscle you did.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think a lot of kids these days, like as soon as they hear any sort of challenge that isn't like they're not complimented from the moment they walk onto campus or something like that, they feel a certain type of way. You know, what's wild was when, you know, I told Bill O'Brien I wanted to play in the NFL when I was 19, right? I said, hey, I went like, my dream is to play here at Penn State. My dream is to play in the NFL. He literally told me to get the fuck out of his office. You know what I mean? He kicked me out of his office when he said that. And then I was like, all right, so I balled the hell out during camp and I got a scholarship 3 months later. And then when Franklin came, you know, he didn't know any of the walk-ons. He came into a crazy situation where we didn't have had such a deficit for scholarships that like my scholarship became a 1-year scholarship. So I had to re-earn it again. You know what I mean? So I got a scholarship, had it taken away. And I remember doing a winter workout. I can't remember I'm going to call him bum. I don't know who he is. I hope you're doing great wherever you are. But this kid was like, some scholarship kid came in and like, he quit like during winter workouts and stuff. And I remember watching him walk out of Haluba and I was like, dude, that's my scholarship. So like I had to earn it again. And a lot of people don't know that. Like in 2014, I had to re-earn my scholarship. And so, yeah, like just because like people put obstacles in front of you, put limits on you, just you got to roll with it and believe in yourself more than anybody else can believe in you.
And Hag, I don't know where you want to go, but I kind of want to go back to the scholarship. I think that's kind of insane if you really think about it. And once again, kids these days hearing about it. So you got your scholarship after being a walk-on in what took you 2 years? From 2011 to 2013, after the head coach told you to get the fuck out of here when you stated what you were going to do. But you went out there and did it, and he respected it.
Yo, he did. Like, he really did. Like, I said, hey, I want to play. He said, let me stop you right there. He said, you're going to have to try your absolute hardest to be on scout team at Penn State. And he said, he's like, you will never play in the NFL. Get the fuck out of my office. And then I left, and I was like, ooh, I messed up. And this wasn't some like loser reporter. This was somebody who had won multiple Super Bowls with Tom Brady, right? This is like this guy, like his opinion mattered. And then the next morning I got called into Fitzy's office and I sat in his office and like the four strength coaches stood in front of me and they were like, who the f- do you think you are? Like going to head coach's office saying you want to play in the league. Like, they destroyed me. And then I had to run. They made me run like at 5 a.m. They like punished me for wanting to play the NFL. It was insane. And I think it was 19 at the time. Right. So you're just like, you're a kid at the time telling somebody you look up to like, hey, this is my dream. And then you got to have to turn that into motivation, which I did. And luckily turned out for the best.
The occasion, and you didn't crumble.
And you know what's crazy? I didn't tell anybody about that. I was so embarrassed. Like sometimes you're like, oh man, like coach is telling me this. Like you want to tell your boys. And I was like, I'm not telling a single soul what happened to me the last 24 hours. Like, but then things worked out. So I was like, okay, now I can talk about it.
Wow, man. Yeah, I did not know that.
But I think that kind of plays into it. Like I said, like whether you, you know, maybe meant it or not, like that definitely drove you and motivated you in certain ways. And like, it's awesome. And again, like I said, I can't echo the testament enough. Like going, strapping it up every Saturday with you was so much fun. And just watching the way
it was the best.
Yeah, just the way you carried yourself and how you handled all of those things and those own internal battles that no one knew about, and you were able to internalize that and go. So let's kind of talk about now what you got going on, right? You just retired. Your NFL career, you highlighted a lot of it, and that's fantastic. But what do you got going on now? What's big in Carl's world? You're starting a business.
Yeah.
What's your goals?
Before we get to the next topic, we're going to take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm going to stand on the table here and say this. Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at The Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meals, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal. And I highly recommend them.
Got a lot going on. It's been cool. You know, transitioning from student athlete to pro athlete to, you know, founder and CEO, it all kind of plays the same role of, you know, you are your own business. And I just kind of kept that work ethic and mentality that, like, I drive this ship. I'm responsible for how successful this is going to be. So I launched a company called Raise, and it is a, you know, a platform where businesses, nonprofits, and people can come together to give back and really modernize philanthropy. We want to be the LinkedIn of philanthropy. Yeah. And it's something like the world desperately needs. Less and less people are volunteering. Less and less people are giving back to charity. People don't go to church as much. They're not being presented with the opportunity to give back. And how the, you know, Christian, we were talking about, you know, your work with St. Jude, we were talking about other stuff that we do in philanthropy, and the positive kind of mental health benefits of giving back are so understated. They give people this sense of self-worth, self-accomplishment, and really a sense of purpose outside of whatever they do in their 9-to-5. And I just feel like it's been the best blessing in the world, because there's nobody more passionate about, like, pro football players. Like, it's their life. Like, they were born to do it. They love it more than anything. Like, almost to a fault that when they're done, they don't know what to do. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I come into Raise, I work with the biggest nonprofits in the world. I work with the smallest nonprofits in the world. And the passion that these people have for making other people's lives better is just incredibly inspiring. Like, you get, I was really interested and kind of excited when I started Raise, because, like, I was like, oh, I can get into this. I can find this passion and be motivated and, you know, compete with these people on, like, who's going to work harder to make the most impact and make the most change. And so we do a lot. And it's been a great transition. I mean, I haven't stepped foot on a beach in like 18 months or something like that. It's probably why I'm so pale. But yeah, it's been great. I think that we can do a lot of good in the world and have fun doing it. So yeah, that's kind of what Raise is up to. Go download it. If you're a company, get on board it. If you're a nonprofit, get on boarded. If you're looking, we have 80,000 volunteering opportunities you can choose from. There's no reason not to get involved. It's like an open table for volunteering. If you like Italian, you go here. If you like working with veterans, you go there. Like, you just, it really, we try and make it super simple. You can donate to 1.8 million charities you want to give to your church and have your company match it. You can do that on Raise. Like, there's a lot of things that you can do. And there's a lot of things that we're launching this year, which we're really excited about too, that, you know, you'll see later this year.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Like you said, making, I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately to hear, as you say, people aren't helping as much, but I think there's still some great hearts out there that would like to, and sounds like your app Raise simplifies it, which in today's world, you simplify anything. People love it. So congratulations, man. And I'm definitely tuning in, looking forward to hear what else you guys got cooking.
So you got all that going on. Now let's talk about this. You get approached to join the Board of Trustees Race.
Yeah.
So why? Why did you say yes to this, and what's your goals there?
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, man. Everything's like kind of meant to be. It was really, really crazy. So when I retired in September, I think I did it like the weekend before or after Labor Day. I can't really remember. But the weekend after the Penn State was playing Delaware, and my brother and my dad both went to Delaware, we beat the brakes off them. It was like 70-10 or something like that. It was amazing.
It was a little scary at first, though.
Was it? I don't remember.
Okay, guys, let's turn it on.
Yeah. I remember. So that was actually my first game as a Penn State at Penn State as a spectator. Like, I never was able to go to Penn State growing up, and I played in the NFL for 7 years, and obviously we have the same seasons. So I had never even like seen a Penn State game as a spectator, and dude, it was absolutely incredible. Like, just interacting with the fans. Like, I said, man, like, I need to get back more involved. Like, how do I, like, when you're, like I was talking about before, like, when you're in league, it encapsulates your entire life. Like, if you're not at your best always, you're going to get fired. You're going to get beat out. And so just that one experience of seeing the stadium again, like, it was a beautiful September day. Like, it was amazing. We beat them. Like, It was awesome. And I actually saw Brandon Short on the sideline and connected with him, had a great conversation with him. Fast forward, you know, a few months in January, he presented me this idea to, you know, join the board and get more involved with Penn State. And at first I said, I need to learn more about this. I didn't even know you could run for the board. Like, I thought that was like a government agency. You know, you always hear about it. And once I learned more about the responsibilities, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of going to kill this. Like, this is going to be great. I work with some of the world's biggest nonprofits on a weekly basis with my company, Raise. You know, Penn State is a nonprofit. They function in a lot of the same ways. I have been a financial wellness advocate for almost a decade, right? And the new NIL era, I think that these student athletes can be amazing change makers and role models for financial wellness, and really flip the script on that story about athletes mishandling their money. Yeah. And then on the last end, obviously my life is philanthropy. And I think Thon is one of the greatest things that happens in all of higher education. I went there again in February. I was just like goosebumps thinking about it. It is the most pure and like incredible collection of individuals coming back, like coming together. It was so amazing. And I said, this needs to be a nationally televised event. We need to continue to have the best headliners. Like, that's really motivating me to give back. Yeah, there's like a bunch of like small, really kind of corporate business, really budgetary, I don't know, specific things that will come with that job. But those are the big three that are going to keep me motivated, keep me excited moving into it. And I think it makes a lot of sense because I do have my finger on the pulse of what young alumni are going through, managing student loan debt, managing just getting life started. And I think that I still understand the benefits of NIL and the kind of the precarious nature it could put you in if you're not financially educated. So yeah, it's been a great few months learning more and more about it. And so, I think it's going to be a really cool opportunity. I hope we have like a lot of fun getting on, you know, getting through this process and being collaborative and not combative. I think that like, I'm in a state of my life where I do not want really to like be political with anybody. I just kind of want to find solutions and be innovative. And I think like, this is like a perfect role for that.
It's beautiful.
That was a lot.
No, man, that's good. That's a good pitch. I mean, we're going to kind of get into why, you know, we should the listeners, anyone out there, we advocate for you, but why they should go out there and vote on April 10th for you guys.
Yeah. For
you.
For me. I'm probably the tallest. I don't know if that counts for anything. Probably still the fastest. No, I'm going to say, yeah, I think I can beat anybody in a race.
What are the training? What's the training regimen look like right now?
You know, I squatted 405 yesterday in the gym. There's a big dude squatting next to me. And so I was,
I don't want to think about that.
I had to show him up. You know, he had all these like leg tattoos. And I was like, all right, I gotta crush this guy. And so I moved 405 for like a couple sets of five, and I can barely walk today. So it was a huge mistake. This stranger wasn't even, he didn't even know I existed. And I was like trying to show him up, and I am paying the price. So yeah, I still work out every day.
That's
yeah.
funny.
That's you never know, stuff, you get a man. Call. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're occupied now, man.
Yeah.
I'll just awesome. I'll be a strength coach or something. Yeah.
No doubt.
4/10, Carl, a couple days before my birthday. 4/12 is my birthday. Go wish me a happy birthday by voting for me. It'd be nice.
There we go.
So big spring game weekend for Happy Valley United. Big spring game weekend for State Media. Big spring game weekend for Carl Nassib. And listen, Carl, we'll get you back on here. But really appreciate it, brother. Can't say enough about it. Proud of you. Happy to call you one of ours, and best of luck with everything that's going on, and you know, keep pushing, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Have a good day.
Cool.
You too, brother.
And that was our boy Carl. B, exactly what you expected.
Yeah. He's always been a great dude, and you can tell that hasn't changed. You know, good, genuine, hardworking dude. And as we see, as everything we cover, man, it hasn't stopped. Don't foresee it changing anytime soon. Going to accomplish, you know, more and more bigger things as he has already in his career, his life. So just a pleasure to be an acquaintance, a friend, and observe it all go down.
Pleasure to be a teammate. You know, you touched on the work ethic. Like he was a relentless worker, and that's something that doesn't just go away when sports ends.
It's that motor, man.
Yeah, it's high motor. It's high cool motor. To see how he's applied that to life and everything. You know, he's been fearless in a lot of ways. So dope to have Carl on, and we'll make sure we get him back, and you know, we'll see what his future holds in terms of his involvement up there in State College. But as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure you're liking and subscribing on YouTube. Follow us on all our socials, on X, State Media PSU, Instagram. I believe it's the same handle. Yep. Always pumping out content. You know, this is the spot to get your Penn State content. We're going to make sure we keep that standard high, continue to get guys involved, continue to pump stuff out for you. And we'll catch you guys up there at the spring game. It's coming up. What do we got? A couple days.
A little earlier this year. I'm not mad at it.
A little early, fingers crossed, the weather's good. Yeah. It always seemed to be that like end of April, mm-hmm. we would miraculously get that 75 degree day. So I'm hoping,
warm.
I'm hoping that gets bumped up this year and works. You know, the Mother Nature falls in line here as well. But we'll catch you guys up there, and we'll catch you guys next week.